test case 5. Jan and me, we are working at the University in Munich, and we try to do some adaptive grids. And before we start with adaptive grids, we want to have a test case where we can control our results that we get with the adaptive grid in comparison to what we have before. So what I'm going to talk about, I will give a short introduction to test case 5. I will give you some comparison with at least 4 different models. I will have some details, tell you some details about my model I was using. And at the end, I will give some modifications to test case 5. Okay. If you talk about test case 5, you have to mention at least 3 papers. The first one is by Takacs in 1988, where he introduced this test case. And it's important to know that he first didn't mention the shape of the mountain. He just told us how high it is. And the second point is that it's just important for him to look at the conservation of mass and energy. Williamson, Drake, and others, they first described the mountain, showed how the test case should be set up, and 3 years later there was a paper by Jakobsen, Hagen, Williamson, where they presented the spectral transform solution to the shallow water test case set. What is test case 5 about? We've got a geosophically balanced zonal flow. And this is for my model. We've got a geopotential height split in a basic state and a perturbation. And in the basic state, I added something which belongs to the mountain. And I will show at the end why I have to do that. But it's not the original part of Williamson's description of the test case 5. So, and the mountain in the original test case, the conical mountain with a center somewhere here in Florida, and the radius. New Orleans. Okay, New Orleans. And the maximum radius is about 20 degrees in all directions, and the height is about 2,000 meters. And we have got just a cone. Okay, so. Another right one. Okay. This is funny. This is looks like. We've got a high at the tropics. We've got a low on the poles. And there you see the mountain, and we have a west wind flow. And it's, without a mountain, it's geostrophically balanced. This is test case 2 of the data set. And if you put in the mountains, you see what's going on. So there is an evolution of a Rossby wave behind the mountains. And if you look very close, it's a simulation for 30 days. There is, at the beginning, fast-moving gravity waves. So what you see is that I didn't damp them out in my model. In the original data, there is the condition that you should damp those fast-moving waves out by diffusion. And I know why they have to do that, because it's a spectral transform model. But in that case, in that model I use, there is no necessity to do so, so I leave them in. And we are interested in multi-phase flow in Munich, and we've got two different flows, and we wanted to see what's going on. So here are some comparisons of models to the reference solution of 1995. What you see is that there is a different atom mountain, of course, and there are differences on the antipode of the mountains. And I discovered it in the GME, which is the model of the German Weather Service, new model, global model, and I discovered the same feature in my model. And I think it belongs because both models have a grid structure which is derived from an icosahedron. And then you see the same features. And if you think what is a spectral transform model is, the basis function of a spectral transform model are all symmetric or anti-symmetric on the sphere. And if you have just one small mountain, or big mountain, but one mountain, there must be something going on the antipode, or symmetric to that because of the basis functions. And the next picture is something I did last year at ENCA with a spectral element atmospheric model of ENCA. There is something similar going on, but at a totally different location. Now the mountain is here, and we get after one day difference on the same longitude, but on the opposite side of the southern hemisphere. And I think it's again something what belongs to the reference solution, because it's still symmetric, and there must be something, there must be a problem with the reference solution. And I know a lot of people who are working with this test case 5, and they have all problems. And if you look at the literature, they all tell you they couldn't be close to the reference solution. So the question is, do we get a better reference solution? And there is one more problem. This is a picture that Bilanza sent me of her model. This is Rosenborg 3. And you see here the relative height errors after one day. And the biggest errors occurs at the top of the mountain and the bottom of the mountain. And Debbie thinks that's a problem because of the shape of the mountain, because at the top and at the bottom, the mountain is not differentiable. So I will give you some details about my model, that you're familiar with what they're doing. We have got a formulation of the shallow water equations in the continuous version with tangential components and operators, and without any respect to any coordinate system. For the numerics, we do it on a 3D Cartesian system. The grid is triangular, and it's based on a buckyball. I will show a picture. Next slide. The time discretization is done semi-implicit with a two-step similar Gregorian stream. And we have to solve a Helmholtz equation. We use a weak formulation and solve it with linear finite elements. So this is the grid I use, the coarsest grid. It's derived from a buckyball or soccer ball, it's the same. And we added the midpoints of all those hexagons and pentagons. And on this grid, we get an almost uniform discretization of the sphere, and we have no special points anymore, no poles, and there is no pole problem which belongs to the grid as a usual geographical grid. So the shallow water equations I use is in a Lagrangian formulation, and I've got the basic state of the geopotential and the perturbation. And you see perturbation, how I calculate it. I have perturbation is usual geopotential minus the basic state minus the orography. And I put it in that way because all the pictures I show is orography plus my perturbation. I use those tangential components of velocity, which is the usual velocity in 3D, minus the component which is normal to this velocity. And I did the same for the tangential divergence and the tangential gradient. And I've got no diffusion in the model. So, question? What we are interested in is if this model conserves mass and energy. And if you see, last year I presented the model for 15 days, now I get it for 30 days, because there were a lot of people who thought that there must be something going on if you don't damp those gravity waves out between day 15 and day 30. And I can present now it's not going on. We've got nearly mass conserving for 30 days, and we have a slight loss of total energy, about 0.2% for the first 30 days. Yes? I think so. So, first experiment I did was when I was at ANCA last year, and that because I was wondering why my solutions after 15 days in comparison with the model, the CM of ANCA, had got much bigger differences than the ANCA model in comparison to the reference solution. And the question was, is this just belonging because I don't damp them up, the gravity waves out, or is there something else? And what I did first was to modify my basic state to put away those parts who belong to the mountain. And run the model. After 4 days, there are very slight differences, about 4 meters. And then something is going on. Day 5, we see some small wiggles here, and the differences are much higher than after day 4. And because of the high frequency of these waves, I think that occurs because of the phase shift of the gravity waves. At least it looks like. And it's just because I have a different basic state. And 1 day later, the picture is totally different. Those very small phase shifts moved nearly over the whole sphere, or at least the half of the sphere. And we have got a different different picture. So and when I look at the characteristics for both, I find out that the mass conservation is not anymore given after day 6 in the modified test case. So what I want to present you is if you have got small changes in your initial conditions or in your model, you can get big changes after anything, any day. So we have got a highly nonlinear problem, and the question is, can we get a reference solution which is independent of our models? Next modification was, I had the idea of that several years ago when I read in Hosen. He explained what is going on if you have got a flow of an obstacle. And he pointed out that the big difference if the flow is from west or from east. Uh-huh. Okay. So, Scott just turned around the velocity from west wind to east wind, and as a result, to get a geosophical balanced flow, you have to put the lows now in the tropics and the highs on the poles. And when we run the solution, you always also see those gravity waves, but there is a Rossby wave here, but it's very, very small. Run it again. And that's just turning around to direction of the wind. And in my view, this test case seems to be a good addition to the old one. And I have the hope that you can find much easier reference solution for that test case, because the changes are so slow, so small. So, and the only thing I have, I changed in the initial conditions of the test cases, I turned here the sign, because I wanted to have the same basic state of my solution, and as a result I had to put this part in this equation, but it's just geosophically balanced. So. And the second modification, because of the idea of what Debbie Lancer observed, is to put in a mountain of that shape, which is differentiable at the top, at the bottom. And now I'll present you some movies between the difference between the modified mountain and the original mountain. First, in west wind and east wind, we've got something going on at the mountain, of course, because it's a different mountain. And then you have got a propagating small waves in the direction of the wind. And I think it's just a phase shift of the gravity waves, but the differences are very small, it's up to 10 meters. So, and of course you expect, if you do it with a west wind, that the differences are much higher. So, at the beginning, it's very, very slow, and then it's growing. I can show you what's going on. For 30 days, it's a totally different picture after 30 days. And it's just because of the slight changes of the mountain. So I will come. Come to an end. I showed you that test case 5 is a nonlinear problem, as we know before. We don't know any analytical solution of that, and it would be maybe an idea to have a test case where we know an analytical solution, and we want to do adaptive methods for that, which is suitable for adaptive methods. If anybody of you know any test case for this field, please contact us. We are very eager to get one. I presented the experiments with different basic states, with the east wind and the modified mountains. And I hope I can show you that all the numerical solution depends highly on what parameters you have. And there are not only the parameters I presented, there is also a parameter like time step size, like if you have a filter or diffusion, how often you filter, which filter you use, and things like that. So, in my mind, we don't have a good reference solution for that test case. What we only know is that all our models should conserve mass and energy, and if they don't do, we have to think about our models. But if they do, we cannot say if this is a good solution or a bad solution. Should be close to the reference solution, but we don't know how close it must be. But what we know is that the reference solution is not the truth. Okay, thank you.